This is the Business of Government Hour, a conversation about leadership and management with government executives and thought leaders who are truly changing the way government does business.
I'm Michael Keegan, your host and leadership fellow at the IBM Center for the Business of Government. What is the Securities and Exchange Commission, SEC's, IT strategy? How is the SEC modernizing its technology infrastructure? And what is it doing to expand its data analytics capabilities to better meet its mission? We'll explore these questions and so much more with my very special guest, Dave Bottom, Chief Information Officer at the Securities and Exchange Commission. Dave, welcome to the show. It's great to have you.
Thanks, Michael. Glad to be here.
Great. So to start off, I'd like to get some context for our audience. Would you provide us with a brief history and overview of the mission of the Securities and Exchange Commission, the SEC?
Sure, happy to. So the SEC was founded in 1934, and it was founded at the height of the Great Depression. So, certainly been around for a number of years now, and the challenge is always to keep pace with, you know, changes in the markets and changes in the economy. But what has stayed constant is our mission, and it's really three pieces to the mission. First one is always with an eye towards protecting investors, with an emphasis to making sure that investors are treated fairly in the markets. And that leads to the markets, which is, you know, the focus on maintaining fair, orderly, and efficient markets. Our U.S. capital markets are the most dynamic and most liquid in the world. They have also evolved, and I'm sure we'll get into this when we talk about technology, to become increasingly fast and just extraordinarily complex. So making sure that, you know, we're keeping an eye on that is certainly a huge focus of the commission. And, you know, particularly in the case where, in terms of securities trading in the markets annually, it's at about $100 trillion. So not an insignificant amount of money. And that leads to the access to capital markets and making sure that the SEC is doing the right things that are maintaining access to capital, you know, particularly for anybody that needs it, but, you know, certainly with the, you know, focus on small businesses, which, you know, again, create approximately 2/3 of all new jobs in the U.S. economy.
Mm, that's great. Now, before we get to your portfolio and your role, I was hoping you could describe for us how the SEC is organized, sort of give us really high-level overview of the budget, maybe just to get a sense of what you're supporting.
Sure. So the SEC is roughly a $2 billion a year organization. That's roughly, you know, in terms of the order of budget, that'll vary. In terms of employees, it's roughly 5,000. I mean, that number will vary as well. You know, our headquarters is here downtown, and then we have 11 regional offices across the country. For the level of work that the commission does and is responsible for, you know, certainly folks have a lot on their plates.
Yeah. So that's a great context. So what about your role as the Chief Information Officer at SEC? And I was hoping you could tell us what your responsibilities are, but also how is the Office of Information Technology organized as well? And ultimately, given your roles and responsibilities in the organization which you lead, how do you support the overall mission of the commission?
Yeah. So I might start with what I think the common denominators are for the overall mission of the commission. And I think it's, you know, going back to the word fair. So as we're doing, you know, the work of the commission, you know, making sure that investors have access to information, you know, in a level playing field. So, you know, that the SEC focuses a lot on disclosures. So, you know, publicly traded companies, the exchanges, making sure that, you know, investors have access to the information that they need to make, you know, the decisions, you know, that are the best informed. The same is true, of course, is for the employees of the commission, you know, making sure that they have the information that they need in order to do their jobs. And as I said, that's fairly, you know, diverse in terms of the requirements there that are required in terms of the mission of the commission. So my job is really, well, are we providing, you know, both the public and the, you know, commission staff and employees the information and tools that they need to do their jobs every day? So the heart of it, it's job one. Job two is to make sure that, you know, that information and tools is secure. So that's really the common denominators, in my view, across the role of the SEC as a regulator, to make sure that we're, the SEC itself is maintaining the confidence in the public and the confidence of our oversight. So it's really those two pieces. So how does that break down? So I wear three hats in the commission. The first one is my role as the chief information officer. The second one is I'm also the agency's senior agency official for privacy. So I'm responsible for all of the privacy controls for all of the information. And I'm also the director of the Office of Information Technology. So I'm the service provider to the commission and to the public to make sure that they have the data and information that they need.
Mm-hmm. So how is that office organized? Do you have what's like the number of folks that you have working with you to make that mission?
Yeah. Work? So in terms of the number of folks, it's a mix of staff and contractor, right? So, our contractor partners are certainly key to our success, and it is a partnership. We have roughly, 220 staff. So just give you a sense in terms of, overall against the entire commission. Our contractor base, again, these numbers vary a little bit. We're approximately about 1,000 contractors. Significant partnership and realliance, we're working with our contractor community. How we're structured, I think, is fairly traditional and along functional lines. So we have a project management solutions delivery organization that works with our customers to get them the tools that they need and the information that they need. We have an infrastructure and operations group that keeps things running, make sure folks are connected no matter where they are. And we have a group that focuses, of course, on security and privacy. They're key. And we have a resource management group that ties all of that together. We're managing the program on behalf of the commission. And then we have an innovation group, strategy and innovation group, that's a bit more futurish focused and then works with our customers on innovation, whether it's a small I innovation in terms of incremental changes that we're folks are looking to pilot and implement, or larger change management efforts. And I'm sure we'll talk through some of those as well.
When I think of what you just said about the multiple hats you wear and the portfolio that you lead, I was wondering if you could tell me, what are the top, three challenges, management challenges, what have you, that you've faced in your position, and have you sought to address those challenges?
Well, I think going back to the challenge that's just keeping pace with technology and the growth in data. So, the first challenge there is really the overall change management challenge. And that's true for, the OIT staff and our, teammates that are delivering and securing those services. And, technology always disrupts the IT people first, I think, in my view. So managing the changes with my direct team. And then it's also, as changes manifest across the commission and with the public, managing changes that impact, more of the business and public side of things. So I found that one of my challenges here is just leading and managing change as a challenge that we're taking on. The second challenge, we've been talked about this a little bit, is the volume and variety of data that the commission is, we're directly responsible for, but there's also a lot of information that is publicly available in other sources that we access. So how do we manage all of that? How do we work with, the various stakeholders across the commission and to some extent the public to turn that data into information and that information into insights? So that's challenge number two. It's a great problem to have. I don't want to say that any of these I think they're challenges. I think they're great, champagne problems to have, if you will. And then the third one is, just going back to maintaining the public's confidence and oversight's confidence in us from a cybersecurity perspective. Job one is, certainly protecting the data that's entrusted to us. Job one and a half, if you will. It's hard to prioritize, though, is making sure that folks are confident in the integrity of the data that they're accessing.
So, David, what has surprised you since taking on your role at SEC? What surprised you most about the role and maybe about the organization?
That's a great question. I think, this is my first time working for a regulator. So my background up to this point has been in the United States intelligence community, a little bit of policymaking work, but, more or less on the from an intelligence community perspective. So I've learned a lot about how the SEC functions in terms of looking for bad actors in the markets, in how we work to make sure that as we examine our registrants and exchanges that. So what's surprised me in that area is just, again, going back to this data concept, just the volumes of data that are involved in a litigation. Just the volumes of data that are involved in an examination. I mean, we're terabytes for each. in terms of what, you know, might be coming into the commission, what might you know, be sharing with our partners. That's been a, you know, a pretty significant surprise for me. The second one was actually how mobile the workforce already was. We'll touch on this maybe with, you know, with COVID, but I had this vision in my mind that, well, the SEC works in an office. I mean, I mentioned, you know, 11 regional offices, maybe they never leave the office. That is the furthest thing from the truth. The folks are certainly out, you know, a group that does examinations wants to do that. And they want to be, you know, with the folks that they're examining, you know, folks that are doing, they want to be on site. You know, folks are want to be where the action is. And, you know, most of the time it might not be in the office. So that actually turned out to be a good thing. So as we pivoted more to remote work a couple of years ago, but that was the second surprise.
That's interesting. So you kind of hinted at your background, but I was wondering if you could go a little deeper and tell us more about yourself and, you know, your career path. You said you were at the IC, and what's your background? What made you attracted to SEC?
Yeah. So I've had a couple of different careers. My first career was actually Merchant Marine. I was a third mate deck officer. So, you know, I went from being a ship driver, and then when I came ashore, I went down the what I would call the systems engineering acquisition route. I was actually worked in industry, but in for the Naval Sea Systems Command. So I spent a number of years in working with the Aegis program. So both building Aegis cruisers and Aegis destroyers. From there, I pivoted a bit more into the IT world. So when I got my master's degree, I was luckily enough was able to build some relationships with folks that were working at the Central Intelligence Agency. So I pivoted it into the intelligence community. Grew up at the CIA, transitioned over to what is now today the National Geospatial Intelligence Agency, and NGA. Was, you know, privileged to lead the technology group there. And then left there and worked for IBM, actually, for a period of time. And then pivoted back into government, worked for the Department of Homeland Security on the intelligence enterprise within the department. Was again, you know, fortunate to get some policymaking background. So I spent a couple of years at the Office of Management and Budget, working for the federal CIO at the time, and then was very attracted at that point to looking for opportunities kind of outside my competency area there, and was fortunate enough to be brought onto the SEC.
When you think of your career path or your current role, David, I was wondering if you can give us an insight on how you lead, and perhaps you could share with us some of the leadership principles that you kind of implore during your tenure.
Yeah, thanks. I think there's really two things. I mean, first is technology is interesting, but it's all about the people. So people first. So making sure that I'm taking care of the people. I was actually at an offsite recently, and we were talking about customers and customer service. And, you know, from my perspective, the folks that are working on IT issues in the commission are my customers. So making sure that doing the right things to enable them to be successful. The second principle and how I'd like to lead is mission always. So make sure that we're focusing on the problem, not, you know, again, people are rarely the problem, right? Let's make sure that we're focusing on the problem. Whether it's, you know, applying technology to a particular solution, or we're trying to fix something, you know, make sure that we're working on the problem. So to always keep an eye towards mission always.
What is the SEC's IT strategy? We'll explore this question and so much more when our conversation continues on the Business of Government Hour. Welcome back to the Business of Government Hour. I'm Michael Keegan, your host, and our guest today is Dave Bottom, Chief Information Officer at the Securities and Exchange Commission, the SEC. So, Dave, information technology plays an integral role in how the SEC meets its very important mission. You know, to that end, would you tell us more about your IT strategy, and what are your specific strategic priorities?
I think when we think about IT strategy, I think about it in terms of people, process, and technology. So on the people front, it's making sure that we're enabling the workforce, and that could be the workforce in the various divisions and offices within the commission. More and more, we're adding actually tools to our SEC.gov website for folks to be able to analyze the various data sets that we make available on SEC.gov. And it's also making sure that, you know, folks across the commission have the tools that they need. So, you know, job one there is make sure from an IT standpoint that we're enabling the workforce. And that's important. And I should also say that the thing that's, you know, shaping that, as we talked about a bit earlier, is making sure folks have access to those capabilities no matter where they are. Right. So it's not just a, hey, I'm coming into the office. I need those tools. It's, they may be working on site somewhere and they need those tools and capabilities as well. So making sure that no matter where they are, folks have those tools. The other thing that is, you know, really drives our IT strategy is make sure that that capability is available, you know, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Mm-hmm. So again, an emphasis towards a lot of tight deadlines that our employees and staff need to meet. Sometimes, more often than not, that's going to require work after traditional business hours on weekends, in locations maybe that's not, you know, that are not the office. So, you know, making sure I have capabilities and access to tools, 24 hours a day. It's really hard to anticipate when somebody's going to need to work. So that's been certainly a large shift there and a driver for our IT strategy. The other one is actually more of a how we deliver, and that's, you know, steering back to the people is a big push, at least, you know, across the commission on the concept of agile teams and cross-functional teams. So, you know, can we, you know, as we're working through how to apply technology to a business problem, we'd really like the technology team to be embedded closely within business and have those decisions made by a team that's, you know, looking at the business drivers first and the technology second, which, you know, is a different way to operate than, you know, organizations have done traditionally, where we take requirements in, we'll come back, you know, some weeks later with, hey, we think this is great. What do you think? Well, maybe not so great. So the idea is to have much more rapid decision making and be able to deliver things, you know, incrementally and agilely as we go. So that's, you know, as we work through our technology modernization, it's really with those two things in mind.
Yeah, I was just wondering, you kind of alluded to this, but I was wondering if there are any sort of internal drivers within the commission and or external trends, sort of whether it's from OMB or from general, that have shaped and informed how you're approaching IT.
Yep. On the internal side, yeah, we alluded to it. It's really how do we make sure I'll use the term augmenting people's productivity. So that's really been a driver in terms of how we think about what our IT infrastructure and stack needs to look like. And you alluded to the second one. So as I like to say, the SEC is certainly a regulator, but we're also regulated. And, you know, so we need to make sure that we're a great example of compliance, you know, but both in terms of what the administration requires of executive branch agencies, and to make sure that we're also setting a good example for what we're requiring our registrants to comply with. So it's really those two pieces in terms of, you know, the key, you know, internal driver. You could say that, you know, compliance is an internal driver, and there's, as we work and set an example for our registrants, that is certainly the case. The other driver I keep coming back to is the volumes and variety of data that we have. So making sure that we have the right capabilities in place to manage that and make sure that, as you know, we're making data and information available to folks in a that's both timely and accurate.
Dave, you mentioned earlier IT modernization, and I'd like for you to tell us more about the commission's IT modernization journey. And what I mean by that is, how is it leveraging cloud? Is it going towards as-a-service models? And what approach are you using with cloud?
Yeah, one of the drivers, you know, coming back to your point about cloud and managed services, is that is certainly the way that industry is going. Mm-hmm. So, you know, the SEC is going to adopt and adapt, you know, but both with, you know, the federal government's, you know, guidance in this area, which is, you know, take a look at cloud hard initially, and there's a lot of reasons behind that. But that's also where, you know, industry, you know, largely is putting their investments. So we would certainly want to both comply. It's always a good idea to comply with the direction coming out of OMB, but it's also a good idea to be consistent with where industry is going. You know, so the SEC is taking a multi-cloud approach to our overall modernization. And I would say cloud first, internet first. Sure. What do I mean by that? So going back to, you know, the concept of, you know, most people are not working in an office, right? So that was true for the commission before, where they're on registrant sites or out in the field. That's true today. So making sure that we're, you know, taking that approach as how we provide connectivity to our staff. The second one is, yes, we are leveraging, you know, clouds to the extent where, you know, making sure that we're using the best of breed for the best use case. So our approach there has been to take a look at software as a service first, and then platform as a service second, and then infrastructure as a service third. So, you know, as we're looking through and making our investments and making our choices, you know, to take a what I would call a platform-centric approach. So just in terms of the, as you might imagine, with the missions that the commission has, that there is a wide variety of applications and data. So we have to make sure that they're available and secure. So, you know, making sure that we're serving each mission on the appropriate platform is where we're going, and making investments in those platforms and software as a service. And that's also allowed us to take a fairly deliberate approach in terms of how we're approaching the security of that overall environment.
You know, I was wondering, just as a follow-up, I was hoping you could tell us more about the SEC's Enterprise Data Warehouse and whether or not it's in the works or it's happened. What's the status of moving it potentially to the cloud?
So our Enterprise Data Warehouse is in the cloud?
It is in the cloud. Okay.
So in large part, that's really the our Enterprise Data Warehouse is the analytic data, what I would call analytic data for the commission. Some of that data does come from disclosure information, right, in terms of how we're parsing that for both review disclosures and for folks to get insights in terms of what is being disclosed. More and more, though, that the information that's coming in is what I would call activity data. So the data that comes in terms of what actually happens in the markets, you know, the largest data set that we leverage is something called the Consolidated Audit Trail. So that is also in the cloud. It's actually managed by FINRA, which is a self-regulating organization in the sector. But as you might imagine, the you know, the commission is a large consumer of that information to perform its missions. So, you know, just leveraging what cloud does best in terms of being able to crunch that amount of data and serve it up was a large driver for putting our enterprise data warehouse in the cloud as well, because that's information that's useful in terms of, you know, gleaning insights using other data sets. So we're just in the, you know, last stages of migrating our on-prem enterprise data warehouse and finishing that up. Mostly, you know, that's completed. We still have some data sets to move. So that's been a large focus for me, you know, during my tenure at the commission.
You know, earlier you mentioned agile, and I was just wondering, you know, when you hear all these terms, DevSecOps, agile practices, what are you doing to leverage them in your IT modernization journey?
I'll come back to, we need to change the way that we work, right? So, I mean, to your point, agile, I'm not so much worried about the agile pieces. I really am a champion of cross-functional teams.
Yeah.
And, you know, the more diversity that we have across teams, the better off that we are. So program people from divisions and offices, sure. People from our acquisition group, people from across the commission. So, you know, the more variety of viewpoint that we have, the better the team is going to be, and the better the deliverable is going to be. So that's, you know, really been a large area of focus for me is, again, going back to the people part, you know, what are the things that I can do to enable cross-functional teams rather than I'm going to drop off my shopping list of requirements, you know, let me know how it turns out. And that's, you know, become a deliberate way in terms of how we're approaching our technology, right? So you mentioned DevSecOps earlier. So as part of our cloud effort and our application modernization effort, we have building out, you know, CI/CD pipelines, application, you know, tool sets, leveraging, you know, that capability. The other thing we're doing is we're modernizing our applications and migrating them. Is with an eye towards, you know, moving away from static, you know, granting of authorities to operate and moving more towards a continuous model. All of that requires technology in order to do it. It's moving away from, you know, a documentation-centric view of how we manage. You know, people are very used to security plans. They're very used to artifacts. More and more, though, you know, it's actually turning into data. And, you know, gleaning insights from data, that's, you know, always changing.
That's interesting. Yeah, you know, I want to talk about EDGAR, and that is the Electronic Data Gathering Analysis and Retrieval System. I'm wondering what you're doing to modernize it, or could you tell us, give us an update on the modernization aspect of it? And are you using new technologies to identify analytic insights from the unstructured and semi-structured data that you have there?
So I'll start with EDGAR is primarily a information ingest and dissemination system. So going back to the, you know, the concept of disclosures. So more often than not, when you hear something in the news in terms of a company has disclosed something, by and large, that's being scraped. As much as I don't like the scrape part from EDGAR, so it is a in terms of the most one of the more popular websites in the federal government. And it's, you know, going back to the theory then of, well, are we modernizing? Absolutely. And that is a journey that's never ending. You know, we've gone, you know, through an work over the past, certainly in the you know, during my tenure at the SEC, modernizing what I would call the underlying infrastructure. So making sure that it can actually keep pace with the volumes of data that it has to ingest. And just going back to the theme, you know, EDGAR's volumetrics are on a hockey stick in terms of, you know, ingest what gets disseminated, and the expectation from the public, rightfully so, is that it's disseminated or made available on our websites, you know, nearly instantaneously from, you know, when things are ingested. So most of the modernization effort that's gone on, I'll say under the covers, has been with that in that in mind. The second part of it is, you know, is making sure we're doing the right things from a security standpoint. One of the major efforts that the commission proposed was actually moving to and implementing multi-factor authentication for, you know, folks that are actually, you know, disclosing information in EDGAR. So, you know, you'd say, wow, we should have done that a long time ago. Sure. But, you know, there is the rulemaking process that we need to follow there. We need to make sure that we're doing the right things in capturing the inputs from registrants that are required to disclose and leveraging those services. So, you know, that is a sea change, really, in terms of how people are operating today. So, you know, that's one of the major changes that's coming, you know, over the next couple of years as we implement that.
My next question was around, has this situation changed the way you use data to meet your mission? I think you kind of alluded to it a little bit there, but I don't know if you had anything more to add. Like, has having access to this data and what EDGAR provides really helped with the mission at the commission?
Yes, certainly. I think the premise here in terms of fairness is access to information. So more disclosure, better. Now that you have to counter and weigh that, and that's certainly what the rulemaking process does in terms of burden to the user. What all of those issues are certainly important and need to be considered. At the end of the day, it's, you know, making sure that people have even access to data. How has that changed the way the commission does business? Well, it's data on different topics, certainly. So having, you know, an understanding of what the topics are, what the insights are that can be derived from different data on different topics from a disclosure perspective. And that's, you know, reporting that, you know, registrants do in terms of, well, here's my reporting, here's my assessment of a particular event or in a particular area. The other change, I think, is, you know, steering back to this, well, you know, that's what organizations are disclosing. Makes perfect sense. The other piece of it, though, is actually, well, here's what actually happened. So if you think about, you know, steering back to the consolidated audit trail, you know, that stemmed from legislation passed after the 2008 crash, right, in terms of, well, the SEC had difficulty in tracing back exactly what the root causes were of that. So having an understanding of what the activity is again, you know, a game changer in terms of, you know, the SEC being able to conduct its various missions.
What is the SEC doing to use data and analytics to better meet its mission? We'll explore this question and so much more when our conversation continues on the Business of Government Hour. Welcome back to the Business of Government Hour. I'm Michael Keegan, your host, and our guest today is Dave Bottom, Chief Information Officer at the Securities and Exchange Commission, the SEC. So, David, would you tell us more about the effort within the commission to expand the use of data analytic tools capable of enabling a robust risk analysis? And where I'm going with this is, how do you use those tools to assist with the integration and analysis of huge volumes of financial market data to detect the fraud and the suspicious behavior you mentioned earlier?
That's a really good question. I think I would start with, well, it's a continuous effort.
Okay.
And going back to my theme of it starts with the people. So when you think about analytics, really what the analytic does best is look for a pattern. So the question then becomes, well, what's the best pattern that we're looking for? So it could be a known pattern of, well, when you see this activity, you know that it might not be something that's quite kosher. The benefit now of being able to work with folks that are in that space, picking their brain, for lack of a better term, in terms of what the patterns that they're looking for, and then developing algorithms that then help them do the looking. So it's, coming back to the augmentation piece is really the core approach here. So, looking for that as folks are looking for activities in the market that, again, aren't quite kosher, as we're looking to do, risk-based assessments of, different things across the enterprise. If you look at our division of examinations, for example, puts out their priorities for a given fiscal year. So data analytics plays a key role there in determining what those priorities might be. It's not the only thing that's considered, certainly, but certainly a focus on data and having data-informed decisions is certainly a core principle of the commission.
That's a great segue into my next question, because I was wondering, in all the efforts that you're putting together to execute on the mission of the commission, how are you leveraging automation and machine learning?
Yeah, so I'll come back to that. It's, let machines do what machines do best, let people do what people do best. And that's, working to understand what people are looking for first as a launching off point and developing analytics that are looking for those patterns. We're also looking for analytics, going back to the large volumes of data that we're talking about. And then, using machine learning to proffer suggestions in terms of things, well, maybe our folks did not pick up on initially that, here are suggestions and areas of behavior or patterns that are worth looking into. So that's, I think, where machine learning does a wonderful job in that area.
What other emerging technologies are you keeping a pace with? Because whether it's, AI, quanta, I was just wondering, are you using any of these or do you have a vision of using them down the road?
Sure. So you can't let a conversation go by, in the second half of this year, without talking about generative AI. Again, my view is probably two or three part strategy there. So in terms of going back to our overall modernization effort, we're leveraging managed services today. So most managed service providers will have a generative AI component embedded in them. So we'll certainly be leveraging those as they become available and as they become available in the FedRAMP space. So that's, I think, option one. Option two is, looking for other opportunities, and we're just starting to look at what, the commission should do in terms of, more direct use of large language models as an example. How would we approach that? We're definitely in the formulative space there, again, consistent with the executive order that just dropped. There's a draft OMB policy memo that's open for public comment now. Making sure that we're doing the appropriate things from a guardrail perspective, going in eyes wide open in terms of what the risks are and what the rewards are. So we're in the, I'd say in the initial stages of that conversation. So in terms of the emerging technologies, I think that's certainly where the where the focus is. Quantum's an interesting one. From an SEC perspective, that's the, I think we'll leverage that as our managed services providers and embed them. I don't envision a world where, we're running our quantum computer in the basement. So that's the, we'll definitely be, consumers of that service as it becomes mainstream. There's a series of tradecraft that goes along with that. Where we are looking, consistent with, administration guidance is around the world of encryption and what changes should we be making, knowing that one of the first quantum capabilities that's going to be out there is it's going to make, some of our encryption obsolete. So certainly, working to understand, what the encryption algorithms we have in the inventory and what we should be moving to. So that's the, but again, I think that's, as those standards become available from NIST, making sure we're doing the right inventory pieces, factoring that into, if we do need to make a change, we'll continue to factor that into our overall modernization journey, which, as we talked about at the beginning, never seems
never
to end.
Gonna change. So, it's a great segue into, throughout our conversation, you've underscored the importance of securing both data and systems. And I want to get into that a little bit more generically around IT security. Mm-hmm. What are you doing specifically in that area? And are you instituting any new policies, or are you doing any new training, or what is the system work you're doing too?
That's a great question. So if I start with the policy and procedure space, so it's, you know, we do several audits a year. So, you know, we're audited annually by the General Accounting Office in terms of our IT financial controls. We just finished that engagement recently for this fiscal year. The IT folks are, you know, one of the best customers for our Office of Inspector General. So it's the which I think is a good thing. I think it, you know, in terms of what the recommendations are, what the findings are. We've closed out a number of, you know, previous year recommendations. We're just finishing the, you know, what this year's recommendations will be from an IT security standpoint. There always involves, do we have the right policies? Do we have the right procedures? Are they current? Are we able to demonstrate that we're following them? Right. So that compliance piece is job one. I'd also say, though, you know, just because you're compliant doesn't necessarily mean you're secure. So we have a white hat, you know, bug bounty program. Sure. You know, we do a lot of outside pen testing. We're certainly a customer of CISA in that space. So, you know, in terms of, you know, CISA's review of our infrastructure and systems, so, you know, making sure that we're, you know, doing the right things from a vulnerability standpoint. You know, the compliance piece would tell you, yes, we have a policy and procedure in place for vulnerabilities, but we also need to make sure we understand what they are. And we're taking the right approaches to resolve them. And that gets into the risk management side of the equation. So making sure that, you know, we're understanding and taking a risk-based approach in terms of what we think the threats are. Data security is certainly one. Data integrity is certainly one. You know, protection of PII is certainly one. You know, things that are table stakes that people expect. So, you know, making sure that we're taking a risk-based approach there as we're going forward.
Is there anything around, you know, because you mentioned it a couple of times, and you also are the privacy officer. Is there anything around the protection of PII that you're doing that you'd like to elaborate on?
Well, yeah, job one. There are many job ones, but, you know, you know, people are very focused on their personal information, rightfully so. You know, again, kind of the, you know, three-legged stool approach there. We pay a lot of attention to, as we bring in new data sets and we're, you know, building new systems, everything starts with a privacy impact assessment. Everything starts with, do we have the right SORNs in place to be able to bring this information in the commission? And then it turns into, well, do we have the, as we work through the systems piece, you know, do we have the right controls in place to make sure we're managing need to know? You know, not everybody needs to know everybody's information. So, you know, understanding in terms of, you know, what the appropriate use is, you know, who has need to know, make sure that we're enforcing that need to know is all part of our privacy program. As you might imagine, that's a continual focus of our auditors, right? Again, rightfully so. So, you know, as we're doing the right things there, we've been very good in that space, you know, from our auditor standpoint. So just a tribute to the team that works on that. And then, you know, so that's kind of the second leg of the stool. The third leg of the stool would be, again, you can't have a discussion in IT this week without talking about zero trust. So the premise here in past years has been, you know, we'll bring in a data set and we'll put an application on top of it, and that'll be a stovepipe. That of course is no longer the case. We talked about our enterprise data warehouse earlier, yeah, where, you know, we have multiple systems and multiple applications accessing the same data. Data is moving between applications and systems. So the two pillars there on the zero trust roadmap that we're working on are making sure that we have the right identity and access management things in place, to make sure that we have the right data tagging in place, right? And in a previous role, my mantra was, tag the people, tag the data, trust the tags. Yes. Now we've kind of, you know, moved to, you know, tag the people, tag the application, and we talked about machine learning, yep, a bit earlier. So it might be a algorithm that's looking at the data. We need to make sure that that's tagged and appropriately managed, which is, you know, a bit different than, you know, the traditional IT security practices that we've had in place in previous years. But a large part of the reason why the administration, not this one, but certainly the past one too, And the one before that, we're focused on making sure we're doing the right things from, particularly in my mind, from a identity access and management and data tagging standpoint.
So I want to switch gears a little bit to customers and customers internal. And you've mentioned a couple of times, Dave, the idea of cross-functional teams and making sure there are a number of different, a diverse group of people at the table building together. How do you anticipate the technology needs of your internal customers, if you will, sort of working at ways to identify better technology that helps them meet their mission, whether they're on site or at the regional offices?
Well, the good news is nobody appears to be shy about asking. So the next problem then is working through what that's actually going to mean, right? So in terms of on the technology side, I view it as, and this goes back to the discussion, we can get into a discussion about innovation. It's certainly incremental changes, right? So what does it mean to, and we have, change an application or change something because we've made a rule change or we have a new piece of data that we need to ingest. So those, I think we have a pretty good processes in place to address those. The second area is maybe in terms of the innovation in terms of, maybe there are changes we need to make to our business processes or there's it doesn't quite fit into the incremental change. It's no, we need to make a bit of a more of a change. And that's my, we're really trying to focus our cross-functional teams on is, there's a, I know we've been doing it this way for a number of years, but maybe, we can look at some other way to do it. This is also where industry is incredibly helpful in terms of, going back to managed services, software as a service in particular, right? Those are all designed with a particular workflow and user experience in mind. So in that case, we're, in terms of the adoption, that becomes really an adoption adaptation discussion. We're not going to change necessarily how a large software as a service provider is serving the overall market, right? Where, the SEC is a customer, not the customer in that space. So, we're spending a lot of time in that effort in terms of technology and applying technology to business problems. I talked about the SaaS, PaaS, IaaS route. Then you get into, we need to customize, right? I mean, that's the dreaded term of, right? So, yeah. And sometimes that is the absolute right thing to do, right? So sometimes, right? That's the careful of what you wish for, right? But the that's the third area. So I think in terms of the teams that we put together and who's on the team, how we're leading the team and what the success metrics look like, that they're a bit different for each of those, right? So if you're thinking about, we don't really know what we're doing here. We're gonna pilot something. It's not necessarily a cost schedule performance metric. It's what are we learning? And be willing to move on if it doesn't pan out. That's hard, right? So that's a cultural thing that some folks are comfortable with, some folks aren't. On the can we look at things that are out there in industry? I think the teams do a really good job of that, actually, right? So, eyes wide open in terms of adoption, adaptation. So I think that's also, having stood the test of time there. And then on the incremental, again, going back to, there's a slight change that we need to make for whatever reason, I think have good practices in place for that.
The customer experience, CX, is a big part of the president's management agenda. I'm wondering, could you tell us more about your efforts? And you alluded to it earlier about enhancing sort of the functionality of SEC.gov. And where I'm going with this, has it simplified the financial reporting process, reduced the filer burden, and made information more widely available?
That's a great question. I would like to think, and I'd be interested to get people's feedback, that we are improving the user experience on SEC.gov. So SEC.gov is a place where people are going to look for information. So there are various components of SEC.gov, to your point. There's SEC.gov proper. There's investor.gov, where we have a lot of investor education material. That's a shameless plug. And then, of course, we have EDGAR, which is also part of SEC.gov, where you can look for all of the disclosures, 8Ks, 10Ks, for particularly publicly traded company. We've put a lot of energy into improving the look and feel of SEC.gov. That's a lot of those efforts are led by our public affairs team. They're in the look and feel business, right? I mean, so that's, again, going back to that cross-functional team kind of mantra. in terms of, you know, reducing filer burden, and that's more on the ingest piece, and there are various ways that we take information in. One thing going back there in terms of our modernization efforts, not really driven by systems per se, but you may have noticed in the past couple of rulemakings the commission has adopted a preference for structured rulemaking. Mm-hmm. So, yes. You know, in terms of, you know, data tagging the disclosure reports that come in, we've, you know, adopted in large part XBRL and inline XBRL to facilitate actual analytics looking at the disclosures, rather, I should say, and a person looking at them. But the, you know, reason behind that is, you know, knowing, you know, just adopting to the volumes that we're talking about, we working with the folks that are actually putting together the disclosures themselves, which are our registrants and the public, and making that information useful for downstream consumers.
What does the future hold for IT at the Securities and Exchange Commission, the SEC? We'll explore this question and so much more when our conversation continues on the Business of Government Hour. Welcome back to the Business of Government Hour. I'm Michael Keegan, your host, and our guest today is Dave Bottom, Chief Information Officer at the Securities and Exchange Commission, the SEC. What are you doing, Dave, around the area of workforce development, recruitment, and retention, and maybe addressing whatever IT skill gaps you have and attracting the right people and get them on board?
That's a great question. I'd start out with the SEC is a wonderful place to work. So I'll just put that out there. So very fortunate in what the SEC can offer. Mm-hmm. Part two to that is, you know, on the training and upskilling, reskilling. Let's focus on the training. One of the initiatives that we started when I arrived at the SEC was a College of Information Technology. So, you know, the SEC, as we said, is not, you know, large. It's not a cabinet level, you know, CFO act agency. It's a mid-sized agency, but it also recognizes that we definitely need a more structured approach to how we're doing and delivering IT training. You know, maybe part of the fact that I have, you know, a couple of kids in college, but, you know, understanding and taking the kind of the college approach in terms of what are the, you know, degrees, if you will, that we need to offer, what are the courses of instruction, how are we going to, you know, structure people through that so, you know, they're taking maybe the 100 level courses in data analytics, they're taking the 100 level courses in machine learning and algorithms. If they want to specialize in that area, you know, work through the, you know, the 200 and 300. So our, you know, curriculum right now on the college emphasizes, as you might guess, three things. One is cloud and, you know, cloud architecture. Two is, you know, I talked about AI and machine learning. And three is agile, right? So how can we work all of that together? So in terms of, you know, focusing, as I said, and investing in the workforce. And I also say, you know, working with our contractor teammates as well, right? So we're making sure that, you know, we're clear and working together in terms of what the skill sets need to be there. On the retention or on the hiring piece, you know, looking, as I said, the SEC is a wonderful place to work. Right? So, I mean, we're very fortunate in terms of the numbers of folks that are applying for the positions that we've had. And we're certainly focused on retention. So, one of the things I look for, you know, closely every year is, well, how are we doing an employee engagement in our FEB survey? So that's, you know, and luckily, you know, the IT staff team within the SEC is, you know, pretty well engaged. So, you know, just hats off to the group and my tenure there in terms of their ability to consistently deliver.
You know, turning to the future, what do you want to achieve in the next couple of years?
That's a great question. So we just finished our, you know, detailed planning roadmap for fiscal 24. As you might imagine, implementing what we're required to implement under the Zero Trust OMB memo is job one. Very focused on, you know, the data side of that and making sure we're putting the data tagging things in place there. And continuing to modernize our identity access and management along with our network modernization or the components I'm emphasizing from an overall infrastructure piece. Things I'm continuing to want to emphasize and grow are, you know, more reliance, you know, cross-functional teams first. And that's a challenge. I mean, you know, people are very busy, right? So, you know, making time for that and emphasizing that is something else that I'm certainly focused on. And the third piece is always is, you know, making sure that, you know, we're, you know, continue the day-to-day customer service, right? So it's all good, right, to talk about all of these efforts, but if you can't log in, then it doesn't really matter, right? So we have to make sure that we're doing the basic blocking and tackling.
So, Dave, what advice would you give someone who's thinking about a career in public service?
I think public service is a wonderful area. I've been, you know, very fortunate in the opportunities that I've had, and I've taken the opportunities in a wide variety of areas in public service. So my time in the intelligence community or DHS or OMB, I think that you get to work on problems that you probably would not be able to work on in the private sector, at least not in the private sector stints that I've had. So it's definitely a different set of problems. I think they're really important problems for the nation, no matter what, where you might be in public service. So that would be, if you have a desire to work on what I think are really important problems, and we have many of them, I think, you know, that's something that I've really feel fortunate in terms of being able to, you know, have been in public service. The other piece of it is buckle up. I mean, it's, you know, it's a lot of, you know, we talked about, you know, technology disruption. You know, there are a lot of, you know, changes that are going on, you know, certainly in the nation, around the world, that's, you know, we're going to have to respond to. So it's definitely not going to be for the faint of heart.
Dave, I want to thank you for joining me today, but more importantly, I want to thank you for your dedicated service to the country.
Oh, thank you, Michael. I appreciate it very much.
This has been the Business of Government Hour, a conversation with Dave Bottom, Chief Information Officer at the Securities and Exchange Commission. Be sure to join us next time for another informative, insightful, and in-depth conversation on improving government technology and its effectiveness. Until then, subscribe, download, and listen to the entire interview at iTunes, Spotify, or on your favorite podcast app, and as always at businessofgovernment.org. For the Business of Government Hour, I'm Michael Keegan, and thanks for joining us.